Pulse reporter Tanya English was recently watching Last Comic Standing, and she saw a comedian on stage named Drew Thomas. He was bemoaning his lack of dating success, a highly original move for a comedian, but let's take a listen.
You could go to nightclubs and meet women, but I don't like going to nightclubs. Everybody in the nightclub is a liar. The men are lying, the women are lying. You got older women in the club trying to look young, but you know they older because they got that vaccine mark on their arm.
So given Tanya's inquisitive nature, she, of course, immediately started thinking about this cougar detector vaccine scar Drew Thomas was talking about. She had seen it on the upper arms of some people, but not on others. So she wondered, why is that?
If you're older than 40, you probably have a smallpox vaccine scar. It's often a dime-sized dent, usually on the upper left arm. Back when smallpox was one of the most frightening and disfiguring diseases around, most kids in the United States got the vaccine and the scar.
And just tap, 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 tap into that fluid. So it would push the virus into the skin.
That's Steve Gluckman. He's an infectious disease doctor with the Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania. He says getting the smallpox vaccine into the body takes some jabbing or scraping, but that's not really what causes the classic scar. The main ingredient in the vaccine is a live virus that creates a small local infection to jumpstart the immune system. The virus starts multiplying, and within days, the body tries to push out the infection.
Like it's red and pussy and drains a little bit, and then it heals.
The blister crusts over, the scab falls off, and what's left is a pockmark. Science writer Carrie Youngdahl says if you were a doctor practicing in the 1800s, the look of that scar could tell you a lot.
You know, you didn't have blood tests to determine whether a person had immunity. You couldn't do it titer and see if a person had antibodies.
Youngdahl directs a web project called The History of Vaccines.
The thought was if you had a big scar, that meant you had a good take. And what that means is you had a robust local reaction to the vaccine.
For hundreds of years, smallpox outbreaks cropped up with each new generation. They called it the speckled monster. When smallpox arrived in a city, it often killed a quarter to 30% of infected people. Remember how we all worried about SARS and Ebola? Smallpox was worse. Quarantine separated families, trade stopped, and the economy was disrupted. Historian Jennifer Keelan says a vaccine scar was a way to prove that you weren't a risk.
So it's literally like wearing a vaccination record right on your arm. So the more prominent, the more clear, in some cases, they thought the more discrete scars there were, the better indication that you actually were protected from smallpox.
Keelan writes about smallpox epidemics and teaches at Concordia University of Edmonton in Alberta, Canada. To stop smallpox, the United States inspected immigrants at the border and passed compulsory vaccine laws for its own citizens.
Public health officials and local police would ask people to roll up their sleeves before they entered schools or before they entered factories or before they boarded trains or ships.
Michael Wilrich teaches at Brandeis University and wrote the book Pox, An American History.
In tenement districts in American cities, vaccination squads would go through during epidemics and check people for vaccination scars, and if they didn't have them, vaccinate them, often against their will.
But just like today, in the 1800s, there were vocal anti-vaccine lobbyists. When a city was on high alert, Wilrich says those opponents found ways to skip the vaccine and evade the police.
They put a little nitric acid at the spot where a vaccination would typically take place on the upper arm. A similar scar would form that could be used to kind of fake out the public health officials.
In the United States, the last natural case of smallpox was in 1949. And over the next decade, outbreaks slowed down in developing countries as well. That's when the World Health Organization launched an ambitious global campaign to wipe out smallpox. Community health workers in Africa, South America, and Asia were trained to do mass vaccinations. They used a hypodermic injection gun that was considered high-tech back in the 60s. With that jet gun, workers could vaccinate as many as 1,000 people in an hour.
The foot pedal, when you pressed it down, it would deliver this burst of high-pressure air that would then travel through the gun and then shoot out through the vaccine canister and penetrate the skin.
Youngdahl doesn't want to press the trigger, but the pedojet kind of looks like that hypo spray gun that Dr. McCoy used on Star Trek.
either Star Trek took inspiration from this, or maybe the manufacturers took inspiration from Star Trek.
The vaccine gun needed repairs all the time, and it turned out to be too intricate for field work. So after a few years, health workers switched to a simple needle.
25 needles. They're sterile until they're opened.
It looks like a tiny two-tined fork. And what the vaccinator would do is use a new needle for every person, and he or she would dip the needle into the vial of vaccine, and a little tiny drop would balance itself between those tines.
The new method was cheap and low-tech, but patients had to endure a little bit more pain.
So they do about 15 sharp little jabs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 15.
Smallpox was eradicated around the world. And by the early 70s, the U.S. stopped giving the routine vaccine. The millennials missed out, but the generations before still have the battle scars. For The Pulse, I'm Tanya English.